you ask an honest person why they got married, so they'll give you all kinds of answers. Some are more accurate, some are less accurate. The one answer that really encompasses why people get married is, I get married because I want to be happy. No one wants to say it that way, but that's the truth. That's why we get married. People say, I get married because I want to give. Ah, so giving someone else makes you happy. So you get married because you want to get happy. Okay. People say they get married because they want to have a family. Fine. If you think about every answer that's given, at the end of the day, we all get married because we want to be happy. And that's a legitimate reason. Hashem created within every person, every man and every woman, certain emotional desires and needs, and certain physical desires and needs. And that's normal. A normal person also wants to get that out of marriage. And all of that is normal. But then comes the question, how do you get there? It doesn't work on autopilot. And I think one of the first rules we have to remember is that the couples that you see, that you think are happy and they're great and everything's wonderful, first of all, either it is or it isn't. You don't really know what's happening there. You just know what you see. And there doesn't exist a couple on the planet that doesn't have serious issues that they're dealing with. Doesn't exist. There is no such thing. You might not know about it, but they're all dealing with things. And if they are really as happy as you think they are, then what you have to recognize is that it took them years to get there. Very often we enter marriage and we compare our marriage to the marriage of our parents, to the marriage of this family that we know or that family that we know. And even if we really know these families, where very often we think we do, and it takes years of marriage to discover that you don't really know what's going on by other people. But you don't know how they started. Because every couple, when they start, has to learn how to make the other person happy and how to make themselves happy and how to balance this act of being in a marriage, being with someone else. If we're open to learning, then we can attain a beautiful marriage. But we have to be open to learning things that we're not prepared for and things that we couldn't anticipate. This afternoon, I was learning from a sefer. And I put the sefer down. I put down the book. And I walked away. I spoke to someone. I came back. I picked up the book. I hopped onto a ride to a wedding. Went to the wedding. Put down the book. Went to pick the book back up. Only this time, I see that the book isn't my book. So I look at it, and I say, okay, who switched books with me? I open the flap, and I see it says the name of the yeshiva I was in just before I came to the wedding. Turns out that when I put down the book and I went over to talk to someone, so someone came and switched my book with an identical book that belonged to the yeshiva. And when I picked it up on the front, you couldn't tell it was a different book from the side. It had a sticker on it that my book didn't have. So now I'm standing at the wedding with the yeshiva's book, not with my book. But you know what? That's exactly what happens in marriage. You look at something and you're convinced you know what you're seeing. You're convinced 100%. I didn't think for a second that if I put down my book here and I came to pick up my book from here, you know, when I turned around it was my book. When I came back, I assumed it's still my book. Looks the same from the top. But it's not at all the same. Depends on what angle you look at it. When I got to the wedding, I looked at the other angle. Suddenly I saw it was totally different. And that's exactly what happens in a marriage. You talk to your wife and you're sure you're looking at the same thing. How come we're describing it so differently? And this comes to play on small things and on big things. I'll tell you a small story. There was a big Rav who I learned by. His name is Rabbi Avram Ort. And whenever he introduces himself out of humility, he calls himself Avi. So my wife and I just got engaged. And she sends me a text message, Avi called, he's looking for you. And I look at that text message and I started fuming. She knows I learned by this man for years and I owe most of my Torah to him. So just because he's so humble that he calls himself Avi, she thinks it's right that she should call him Avi. And I'm sitting there looking at the text message and I don't know what to do with myself. You know, you're newly engaged and I'm thinking, what am I supposed to do? I shouldn't tell her anything, but what's she thinking? I'm engaged already, right? It's already a done deal. So I sat there fuming for 5 to 10 minutes, not knowing what I'm supposed to do. I said, okay, she's going to call Mavi. I guess I'm going to swallow that. What am I going to do? I'm not going to say anything. Okay.
Where is she moving from?
Tiferes Yerushalayim. After a few minutes, I called him up, and he says he didn't call me. So now I'm confounded. What's going on? I called my wife, and she says, what? You thought I would call him Avi? How would I dare call that Rabbi Avi? I was talking about my father, Avi. My father. I sent you a message. Avi hitkasher. My father called. Avi. Yeah? Okay, so I'm reading, and I'm reading Avi, and she wrote Avi. My father. You're looking at the same thing, the same book. You're just looking at it from a different side. You're reading a text message. And I'm reading it and I'm asking myself, what Avi? Right? But who's the dunce? Me, not her. But in marriage, you very often enter these situations where you think you're talking the same language. It's just a question of a syllable. Is it Avi or Avi? Right? Okay, simple difference. I'm giving you one small example, but you'd be surprised how many times there are major explosions that happen between couples over things that just, they didn't exist. They didn't understand one another at all. And so, we have to train ourselves. Firstly, to be patient. Nothing happens quickly. The fact that we're surprised when marriage begins that this isn't what I expected. So remember, you heard it here. It's not going to be what you expect. And as much as I could tell you, it's not going to be what you expect, it's still not going to be what you expect. Am I right? Oh, okay. Am I right, Rabbi?
32 years, I would hope so.
Okay. Every person who's going to be honest is going to admit that it's not what you expect. And it's not what she expects, and it's not what he expects. Now, that doesn't mean it's any less. It could be much, 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 much more. But we have to be prepared that it's not going to play itself out the way we thought it would. And so, wait and see. Did I ever tell you guys the story about the couple and the music? No? So, they're newly married. And one night she comes home and says, I have a big test tomorrow. I have to stay up. Why don't you go to sleep? I have a lot of work. So he goes to sleep. And it's about 1 o'clock in the morning. And suddenly she's blaring music. So he wakes up. He's a little stunned. What's going on here? He walks out. And he looks. And she looks at him. And suddenly she goes, did I wake you? I'm so sorry. I can't believe it. Go back to sleep. Shh. She goes and lowers the volume. Go back to sleep. Go back to sleep. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Go back to sleep. Go back to sleep. Shh. He looks at her. What's this? Shh. Okay, fine. Goes back to sleep. She knew he was sleeping. It was only him and her. Okay, maybe she forgot she's married. She forgot he exists. Okay, fine. He goes back to sleep. It's final season. So a week later, same story. She says, I have a big test and you go to sleep and I got to stay up. He goes to sleep. It's 1-2 o'clock in the morning and she walks into the room and she's talking and laughing with her friend on the phone and she's yelling and joking. He rolls over. He looks at her. She looks at him. I'm so sorry. He looks at her. Rolls over. She walks out. He walks out. Okay. He goes back to sleep and he's starting to wonder what's going on here. You can imagine what happens the next week. Again, she's got a final. She says she's going to have to stay up late. He has to go to sleep early. He's already starting to wonder what's going on. And he's sleeping. She turns on blaring music. He gets up, and this time he's already like, I don't get it. You know, once, twice, I understood. Three strikes, I won't say you're out, but now I don't understand. So he walks out of the room, and he's like really wondering what's going on here. He's a little shocked, he's a little hurt, he's a little upset. And she looks up from her work. She goes over there to turn over the knob. And he's like, yeah, shh. So she looks at him, and he's upset. She says, I'm so sorry. He says, okay. And he says it in a tone like, yeah, like I don't believe it. And he turns around, and she says, you know, I'm really sorry. And he could hear that she's hurt. So he turns around and he looks at her, and he says, how come you're hurt? You woke me up three times. What are you hurt about? So now she starts crying. So he says, why are you crying? You woke me. I don't understand. Now you want me to apologize to you because you woke me? What do you want? She says, no, you're right. I'm a terrible person. You're 100% right. Please go back to sleep. You're right. Oh, so now you can do the guilt thing on me? I don't understand. What's going on here? You woke me. I'm supposed to apologize to you. Now you're crying. Explain this to me. What did I do? I didn't say you should apologize, she says. I told you to go back to sleep. I'm sorry. You're right. I'm a terrible person. Go back to sleep. You're 100% right. He says to her, I never said you were a terrible person. Yes, you did. No, I didn't. I simply said, I don't understand. How come it's the third time that it's happening? But I never said you're a terrible person. Yes, you did. No, you didn't. He goes back to bed and he's tossing and turning and tossing and turning. He doesn't know what he wants from his life. Now this story has so many lessons that we're going to develop it now. We'll get back to the beginning of the story. But because we're trying to have a condensed series here, so I want us to learn a lot of things from this story. So we're going to develop it. Usually we break it up into segments. Each class focuses on a different segment of the story. This time we're going to do the whole thing. He comes out and he says, you know, I want to discuss what just happened. She says, very good idea. So he says, well, how do you view what happened? She says, I don't know. How do you view what happened? So he says, well, you first. She says, no, I'm listening. So he says, well, I went to sleep, you turned on the music, I got up, I didn't understand why, you got all hurt, I don't understand why you got hurt. How do you view it? She says, you're right. He says, and? She says, and I'm sorry. He says, so can we make up? She says, yeah, we're all made up, good night. He says, no, we're not all made up, you're upset. What do you want me to say? I'm wrong. Yeah, I want us to discuss it and make up. She says, we discussed it. I'm wrong, you're right, good night. But what do you want from me? Didn't we say we're going to discuss it? We did. You said I'm wrong, you're right, I apologize, good night. Now the guy gets really frustrated. It's like, how are we ever going to make up? How are we ever going to work things out if when we try to discuss things, this is how it's going to play itself out? What does she say? You're right, I'm a bad person in that too. I didn't say you're a bad person, he pleads. I'm just trying to understand. Nothing. Dead end. Fine. Next morning they make up. They're going to meet. They're going to walk. They're going to talk. He meets her. They don't even go home. They start walking. They start talking. Again, same thing. He says, how do you view it? 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 I told you already. Yeah, okay. He tries to get the square one. He got nowhere. Frustration. They haven't resolved anything. Now he's even more frustrated because he's starting to wonder, how am I ever going to work things out in this marriage? If we can't even discuss things, so how are you ever going to get anywhere?
She's a woman.
She's a woman. He's a man. But they're not getting anywhere. So there are many, many points. We'll try to touch on many of them. Then there comes a time where they agree. The next day they're going to go out, and the next day he doesn't say anything about it. They start walking, and Yonatan, it's broken. There's a problem with the electric output there. Sorry. The key to what she wanted was, first, a woman wants that the conversation reflect connection. So the next time he comes into the conversation and he says, "Hi, how are you?" "Fine. How was your day?" They start with small talk. The key to getting anywhere in a conversation with a woman is that the conversation has to reflect connection. So if the conversation reflects connection, then we can talk. If the conversation is focused on our problem, then we have a problem talking. So the first thing in the conversation has to be small talk and talk about everything but the problem. And as you talk about everything else, then maybe you'll be able to hear what she has to say about that. The second key is the story I told you guys about one of our teachers when I was in high school. He was a very sweet old man who had a hearing aid. And the guys would talk to one another in front of him, moving their lips, making believe they're talking, and he didn't hear him. He'd say, what, and he'd jack up his hearing aid. And then they'd start yelling, and he'd go, okay. So as teenagers, they thought that was very funny. But the truth is that if you want to understand how your wife is hearing you, you have to imagine a person with the hearing aid jacked all the way up. So when a wife and a husband are standing in a store, and the wife asks the husband, "Is this dress too tight on me?" And the husband says, "I think it is." And then she goes bawling and she says, "You just said I'm the fattest woman in the world. How could you? How dare you? How indecent. I don't believe you could do that. And in a public place, you brute." He didn't say that, but that's what she heard. So when he walked out and he looked hurt and he looked upset, jack up that hearing aid, she heard it 10 times as much as him. And that's why when there's an argument, so if the wife will say something and the husband will say the identical thing, she gets much more hurt than he does. Because she hears it much more. And he says, "Wait a second, I just told you the same thing you told me. How come you're so hurt? You said the same thing to me." Yeah. There's another reason. And that is that women express an emotion. And we express our thought. So if a wife yells at a husband, "I hate you," and the husband yells back, "I hate you too," and then the woman goes bawling and crying and she's all upset, and the husband says, "I don't understand. You said it to me first." So she's going to tell him, "Yeah, but you meant it." So it's not only that the hearing aid is all the way jacked up, it's also that we speak a different language. When we speak, if we'd ever say what they say, we'd mean it. When they say it, they don't mean it. All she means to say is, "I'm very, very upset." There was a couple where the wife was very upset and she made a very, very, very big error. She said to her husband, "I want a divorce." And she found herself divorced. Because he took her seriously. And she never meant it. And years later, she kept saying, "I don't know how I got here. We were just having a fight and he thought it meant we have to get divorced." And when they asked him, they thought they could put the couple back together again. He said, "What do you mean? Every time we'd have a fight, she'd say, 'I want a divorce.' Okay, if that's what you want, so that's what you got." But that's a big error. That's not true. It's a big error because she should never say such a thing. You never say such a thing in a marriage. You never say, "I want to get divorced." Never. Even if you really want to get divorced, you never say it. so our conversations are different. And now let's rewind. And before we go to the root of the story, I'm going to tell you a big secret that women don't like when I say in this class. But it's one of the secrets if you ever want to win an argument with your wife. You shouldn't want to win, you should want to resolve. But if you want to win, this is a big secret. We talk on two different wavelengths. Let's take a couple that makes up that they won't spend more than a certain amount on the credit card. And then let's say the wife did, just for argument's sake. So what does the husband do? He comes home in a classical male fashion, and he's very upset. And he says, I don't understand. Didn't we agree this? And what does the wife do? She gets hurt and offended, and you're right. She can't argue with the logic, but she won. Because she's hurt, and she's crying, and now you're going to have to apologize at then. But you didn't do anything wrong, and you're going to insist, I'm not going to apologize. Oh, very good. Oh, you believe me. She's going to win. Women are stronger than men. What happened here? The man deals on his wavelength. He's coming in with logic and what's right and wrong. And the woman dealt back with her wavelength. How does she feel? What's the secret to succeed? Don't talk on your wavelength. Walk through the door and don't say you're upset. You're not upset. You're hurt. It's a totally different line. Try walking in and crying. Now you'll tell me, but I'm a man. And I'll say, so what? You can cry too. Don't cry. Tell her, look, I know I can't imagine how beautiful that dress must have been. And I'm not upset at you. I'm just hurt. I can't figure out how we're going to manage if this is what we're doing. You know, you must be right. But what did she do to him? You know, when he came in and he was upset, what did she do? She started crying. Now you're finished. She won. But talk on her wavelength for a minute. Talk on feeling. Don't talk on what's right and wrong. Very often we think we can express, we're upset, we think you're wrong. Okay, she's going to answer us with how she feels in light of what you think. And you know what? You're going to have to be considerate of her feelings, which is legitimate. But try sharing with her how you feel. How you feel, not how you think. Not whether she's right or wrong. How hurt you are. And now what's really at the root of the story? Why is it that she was turning on the music? When they finally could get to the bottom of things, it turns out that she grew up in a family with 15 kids in two rooms. He grew up in a family where he was an only child, a three-floor house, 15 rooms, only child. When he'd go to sleep, no one made a sound on the floor in which he slept. When she went to sleep, everyone was hustling and bustling all around. You can't keep 15 kids quiet. One kid's gone to sleep, no one else can stay quiet. And when they finally got to the bottom of it, she reminded him how when they were dating, they'd sometimes talk till 1, 2 in the morning, and he'd ask her, how are you talking on the phone so loudly? Aren't there people sleeping around you? And she'd say, sure there are people sleeping around me. My sister's to my right, my other sister's to my left. The room's full. But in this house, we all talk when someone else is sleeping because no one wakes up from it because we're always living with a lot of noise because we're 15 kids in two rooms. So, of course, we're used to the noise. Now, if you're going to sleep, only one's quiet, no one's going to sleep in this house. So that's what they were used to. So she was behaving the way that was natural and normal. That's how she grew up. He was behaving the way that was natural and normal the way he grew up. In his house, you didn't make a sound when someone was sleeping. You'd go to a different floor of the house. So, of course, he's very hurt coming from where he's standing. She's very hurt coming from where she's standing. Is she wrong? I don't think she's wrong. If the roles were reversed, I'm sure he would have done the same thing. It takes time to get used to understanding the other person. It takes time for all of us. And sometimes, if we're not really open to it, we don't even understand the other person. It's that same book. You're looking at it from one side, it looks like it's an identical book. It's only when you start looking at the other side that you realize it's not what I thought it was. Yes?
So I just want to go back to the talking about the whole scenario where they're making up and end up, like after the third time he comes up, he's trying to work things up, and like you're saying, like, you've got to do all this dancing around the topic to kind of like, you know, beat around the bush to even finally get to the core of the relationship.
The idea is that conversation has to first reflect connection.
wanted to go to bed at 11 o'clock. He's been tossing and turning, trying to avoid the music. It's now 1 o'clock. She's still up in her exam thing, whatever. Now he's coming out. He's finally had enough.
Yeah, but it doesn't have to be an issue.
How's he going to make this? He's got to do this quick. He's still got to wake up at like...
Won't work. No quick solution. No. It doesn't have to take an hour. But it could take 15 minutes. You could say, what do you say we sit down for some ice cream together? They could sit down and from that they can get elsewhere. For women, the talk, the sign of connection is critical. And there's no circumventing that. And if you try, it'll backfire. But, it's not to say, you know, he could come out and say, look, if he's calm enough, he could say, look, I do you mind if we lower the music? I'm trying, I haven't been able to fall asleep because of it. So long as it's not an issue. But once it becomes an issue, if you want to deflate it, you have to connect. You want to connect, it's going to take time. And it's going to take time of conversation that reflects connection, which is something that us men are not used to doing. For us men, conversation is all about, what do you want? Want to get to the point? Want to tell me bottom line what you want? Watch big people and watch how they talk to their wives. And watch how they listen to their wives. And you'll see that when their wives start talking, they smile and they listen. There's this patient, loving smile. And it's real. When you can appreciate who you're talking to and you can appreciate what they need, so then you can have the patience for it. The fact that her needs are different than yours, that's how God created us. We're different. And there's nothing wrong with her and there's nothing wrong with me. When I'm with men, I can talk like a man. When I'm with my wife, I have to talk like you talk to a woman. And it's a different mode of conversation. You can't... And if you're going to try to implement one with the other, it's not going to work. Come on, Michai, let's talk. How was your day? Is your chavrusa nice today? You see, it's getting on your nerves already. It's not going to work. For us men, what do you want? What? No, it's not going to work. Conversation is different. But for women, they want to talk about the details. They want the speech is not goal-oriented. The focus is, let's get connected. And if that's the focus, then the topic at hand is not so important. They didn't call for nothing to say. They called for connection. Men have a very hard time with this. They'll come home and the wife will ask him, how was your day? And he'll say, fine. And she'll say, and how was work? And he'll say, fine. And she'll say, and was there anything special? And he'll say, no. And she's going to lament to her friends. It's like pulling teeth, these men. He doesn't tell me anything. And he thinks, what does she want from my life? What are all these questions all about? Oh, she's expecting the same question. He goes out to take out the garbage and she asks him, where are you going? And he gets all offended. What do you care where I'm going? And she looks at him and says, well, what, did I ask something offensive? I just asked where you're going. I'm taking out the garbage. What route are you going to take? What do you mean, what route am I going to take? You know where the garbage is. What are you asking me all these questions for? Right? Tussman, what do you want from me? What she wants is conversation. The Gemara says we have a biblical obligation to be intimate with our wives at set times. What are set times? Oh, so depending on your profession, how much time you have, will define whether it's once a week or twice a week or three times a week, etc. Then there's a biblical obligation the night she comes back from mikvah, because the couple weren't together for about 13, 14 days. So when the night she comes back from mikvah. And then there's a biblical obligation the night he goes out on a trip, and the night he comes back from a trip. And then there's a biblical obligation, on top of all these, when she indicates to him that she's interested. And how does she indicate that she's interested? Because there's all kinds of beating around the bush. The Gemara says, a man gets to the point, says exactly what he wants. A woman doesn't. It's everything but. And his biblical obligation is to be attuned to it. And the Gemara says she'll put on nice jewelry and she'll get dressed nicely and she'll start talking to him about all kinds of things and he has to get the hint. Because that's the way Hashem created them. We're different. So you have a mitzvah d'oraisa that's contingent on you being attuned to picking up the hints that she's, the cues she's going to drop. Okay. That's, there's nothing wrong with that. That's the way it is. So what did we discuss tonight? We discussed that we view things differently. We have to be prepared for the fact that we view things differently. We all enter marriage wanting happiness. But we have to know that the way to get there is not quick and easy. All the couples you think have it great, well, they might have it great and they might not. And if they do have it great, it took them time to get there. Everyone had to cross over certain hurdles. We discussed our difference in conversations. We discussed our difference that they get hurt and we talk on the wavelength of what's right and wrong. They talk on the wavelength of what hurts and doesn't. We discussed that they're like a hearing aid, that they hear things much more loudly than we say it. We discussed that when you want to discuss something, you have to start with beating around the bush and then get to the point. You have to first show connection and then you could talk. You can't just begin with what you want to say. And we ended up with the fact that that's part of the biblical obligation to be attuned to what they want, even though they're going to beat around the bush. And they're not going to say it exactly.